Well, Brent, obviously a nice honor for the 2001 Red Deer Rebels to be honored by the Alberta Hockey Hall of Fame here this summer. I guess just first of all, a general thought on the honor itself about the team getting this pretty cool recognition.
Well, obviously it is quite an honor, and it's awesome. You know, obviously for everyone involved, players, our staff. You know, you think back that many years ago, and you know, that was only 2 years after, you know, myself and Connie had purchased the team, and you know, and there's lots had to be done in those years and those 2 years, and you know, we built that team. It probably happened quicker than I thought it might, but you know, we had some great young men, and you know what, to be quite honest, that group, even though through there was some tough times for them to, you know, to buy into the new culture here and the way the culture needed to be, just not for our organization, but the way we wanted these, you know, our players and the way we wanted the staff and everything else involved in the community, how they had to be part of the community. You know, there's some tough days, but we got through it, and you know what, and that's what I give those kids, you know, I hold them all to the highest standard regards, I guess, in the way they were, their standards and stuff and how they grew with it, but the respect I have for every one of them, because they bought into it in time, and you know, then they took the torch, and they, you know, that's where the culture started, was with this group, and what we're about is Red Deer Rebels, and they have a, you know, they're a big part of what we are today, you know, because they did take it, and they had, you know, they were the ones that first took that torch and carried it, and then they passed it over, and we've stayed to that culture since then.
And they're obviously a pretty special group that helped you live up to a pretty big promise you made when you purchased the club.
Well, you know what, I looked at the team, and I was very fortunate when I bought the team, and I'd been with them the year before, and you know, coming out of pro hockey and coming out of teams that are successful and teams that have won, you know the makeup of a hockey team and what you need to be successful, and the standards basically are what you got to do every day and the way you need to practice and the time you have to put into it and your off-ice conditioning, just the discipline you need, just not on the ice but off the ice. And, you know, those two things were a big part of it. I thought we were, you know, that first year being here and helping out, you know, there was a lot of stuff that needed to be done and changed, and that I felt, and I had an opportunity to purchase a team, and it starts up top, right? And we had to get everyone on board the right way inside the office, and the way we need to be inside the office, and in downstairs, the way we need to hold ourselves accountable and our standards, and you know, right through the, you know, from top to bottom. And, you know, and yet I knew the players, I knew there was going to be some change. But we had a real good group of young guys coming. And those young guys, you know, they really took it and ran with it. And then the veteran guys, they bought into it, and then seen the mesh. And I know in that press conference, I said that we'd win it within 3 years. And because I believed in the group, and we ended up doing it in 2 years. But there's a couple things that were keys to that. You know, obviously we made two big trades. Getting Kyle Wanvig was huge for us. Was the first big trade. Well, actually, there was three big trades. There was a Kawan big trade, and then there was the Ross Lupuschuk trade, and then there was the big trade with Saskatoon on the trading deadline of that year, and getting Marty Urat and Darcy Robinson and Cam Ondrick, and you know, and that provided us with 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, always all very good players, you know, and then really to me, you bring that, and still everything has to mesh. But we had such strong character inside of our room, and they knew what our goal was right from the start of the year and what we want to get accomplished. But the turning point of the season was, or not really the season, where you really felt, okay, we have this, we got it, was we got into injury trouble. Marty was only with us for one game, and then got hurt in Calgary the next night, and dislocated his shoulder, and he was out till the last weekend of the season. So we missed him from the trading deadline right through till the last weekend of the season. But then we got in some injury troubles, and near the end of January, we lost more players. And we had like three or four top-end guys out of our lineup. And it forced those young kids like the Boyd Gordons, the Joel Steps, the Colby Armstrongs, the Jeff Wewitkas, the Bryce Thomas. These guys all of a sudden got bigger roles, and we went on a big run. And we won a lot of games in a row. And those kids gained confidence. And then you just, from a coaching's perspective, even though you knew you trust them and you knew they were all good players, now your team, you knew that we could play against anyone. And our depth, four lines, was incredible. And our defense was really good. And obviously, you have a great goaltending.
Says a lot about, like you say, the depth and the character, because the Rebels that year came into the season as one of the favorites to go the distance. And that's, you know, a lot coming from the outside to try and live up to that. And in the end, like you say, despite all of the adversity, the injuries, the big trades you went through, you found a way to get it done.
Well, you know, it was a year before we had a really good back half of the season. And we got beat four straight against Kootenay in the playoffs that year, but you really felt good with the group coming back. And you know, when you're around the game, you just know that your team is going to be a top-level team as long as we can continue to stay the course and continue to build as a team. And these guys were very, very close-knit group of players, maybe as close of any group I've ever either played on or coached. And they were, again, they... Right from the start, right from the opening day training camp, it was all business. And, you know, we had, there was many games where we did a lot of great things. But the bottom line was that, you know, we had guys that, you know, Justin Mapletoff, for an example, coming back from the Islanders camp. And, you know, took a lot of pushing and pulling the year before with him to get him to really play to the level he needed to play at and do it consistently. And Justin was a great kid, and he just had some pushback, but finally he bought in and he went to the Islanders camp and they sent him home right away, and he came back, and you know, we're at the Red Deer Arena playing an exhibition game, and he came in when he got back and he wasn't playing, and he showed up from the airport, came in, and we had an exhibition tournament at the Red Deer Arena, and he was devastated. And so it was pretty easy when they're at that point, right? Okay, then buy into what needs to be done, buy into what I'm telling you, and your role will be very prominent here. And I told him at that point in time, you will win the scoring race in this league. And he did. But he bought in and he played lights out all year. There were so many things that transpired with this group that, and they probably today all chuckle at and laugh at, but every one of those things is what built that team up to being what they were and built those individuals up to what they became. And we became a tough team to beat, and you know, we could play it any way you wanted to play it, and that's what we always felt good about as a coach. Is some teams wanted to get in the trenches on us, we were all in, right? And yet we had a tremendous amount of skill too, so it was an elite group. As if I look at teams, whether it was as well as far as dynamics of a team, balanced as you can have, and that's what that team was. And we were big. Like, we had a big group. Like, our fourth line, you know, Dermot Kelly, Shea Stevenson, Jeff Smith. I mean, these guys are all 6'3" guys that were played hard games and hard minutes, right? And they, every night, they were going. And so we were a four-line deep team. And it's been, it, if you look back on it, it's kind of always, I guess, in my head as a general manager since then, how you like to build your team, because that team was pretty elite.
You mentioned earlier it was all business that year, and that was really evident with the Saskatoon trade in particular, because there was a lot of emotions to sort through in that particular trade at the time.
Well, you know, we played in Saskatoon, and the team, after we played there, this was before the trade deadline, the team had gone home, and I stayed in Saskatoon and watched a couple more. We had a week off, and I stayed and watched a couple more games. Saskatoon had two games through the week, and I stayed and watched them play, and I left there thinking, okay, if, you know, they were a team that was last place in our league, and, you know, Darcy on the back end, 6'6" guy, skates well, moves the puck, plays a rugged game, would be a great fit for us on our back end. You know, fit in nice with the guys we had. And then with Martin Yurat, you know, elite player, National Hockey, Nashville draft pick, excellent player. And then getting in more an older goaltender, because at that time Shane Bedard was 18, and then we felt, you know, we should just better have a little bit more experience in the net. And so that Cam was 20. So to do that, we had to move out Michael Garnett, who ended up being a great player, a very good pro, played a long time between North America and in Europe. Great, great guy. And yet he was from Saskatoon. He was a 17-year-old. And that was hard to do. And then Justin Wallen, who was a player here that was a stalwart. Like, he was someone that was, you know, he's a 20-year-old, you know, just was a big part of the team. And as far as been here a while and grew and was part of the organization, obviously following the footsteps of his brother Jesse. And but you have to separate that as a general manager at the time. And so when I did the deal, it's crazy what happened. And I gave him because of bringing Martin in, I had to trade a European. So I traded Martin Bimazol back to Saskatoon too. And also a first round pick. When I did the deal, I made a deal with Brent McKeown, who was their GM. They knew at that time they weren't making playoffs. They were out of playoffs. So the deal was that when the season was over, that Justin would come back to our team and be an assistant coach. And I had a lot of respect for Justin, obviously, and he, like I said, he had rebel logo tattooed to his butt, and the league approved it, and so it was crazy. Season was over, and 2 days later, Justin was driving back to Red Deer to be our assistant coach, and the kids in the dressing room were jacked, and so you don't see that happen very often, right? But it's just respect to a 20-year-old. You know, and it was a tough trade as far as the sensitivity of it, because of the individuals that were on our team that were going the other way. But it wasn't a tough trade to make from hockey and making our team better. And I knew I had to do it. And I'll never forget, we talked the night before at midnight. Brent McKeown and I talked, and he said, okay, I'm good with the deal, let me sleep on it. So I didn't go to bed that night. And then I stayed in the office and just paced. And he called me. I said, let's communicate at 7 in the morning. And we did at 7 o'clock. And he said, let's get the paperwork done, we're good to go. So now then the next thing for me was, okay, I got to talk to Garney and talk to Justin on this too, and Martin. And I didn't tell Justin at the time that's what we were doing, but then we talked a few days later, and Brett talked to him, and then I talked to him, and it was all good.
And the rest is history. just an amazing story behind that trade. And then you get through the rest of the regular season and through playoffs, you get to the Memorial Cup. And even then, obviously, we all remember the finish in that final game against Val-d'Or, how it came down to the wire in overtime. And thankfully for everyone, you guys found a way to get it done when it mattered most.
Well, it was crazy before the game. In the way the dressing room was set up in Regina, there was curtains that were separating areas where players could dress or could stretch and stuff and outside their own dressing rooms. But it was a beautiful week when we were there. The weather was outstanding. And the teams would go out and stretch in the parking lot and do their stuff out in the parking lot before the game because it was so nice out. And the Val-d'Or players came running down the steps and running past our dressing room and knocked all our curtains down. And so, I don't know, I snapped. I walked right into Val-d'Or's dressing room, and I told their players to get back and set our curtains up, and they did. And they come back out and set the curtains up outside and out of our dressing room, and then we went out and played. And, you know, it was quite a game, you know, a 6-5 overtime win. That was the first time we'd ever seen where a team had scored a goal and they went and jumped in the players' box. And that would, our players were livid with that. And it was just more push for us. And they had a couple really, really good forwards and that were really top-end offensive guys. And I was trying to match Justin and Kyle's line, Kyle Wanfig and Justin Mapletoft's line against these guys. And it just wasn't working in the first period. And so I called Kobe Armstrong and Joel Stepp and Boyd Gordon in. Now, these are young kids. And I called them in and I said, listen, guys, I don't care what happens the rest of the night. Your job is to make sure those guys don't get another goal. And those guys did. They shut them right down. They were like lions let out of a cage, and they went after it, and they were awesome for us the rest of the night. And you know, we were, I believe, I forget what the score was after the second period, but it was just a battle, and it was two teams very well matched. But we just had that, you know, as a coach, you just never felt concerned or worried. You just felt you were always going to get it done because that was just the makeup of that group, and they accomplished it. And, it was obviously a great credit to them, and it just says a lot about the kids' characters.
And the team, you know, for the most part, has gotten back together a couple of times since then. I know there was a 10-year reunion, and a lot of the guys came back for when the Rebels hosted Memorial Cup in 2016. So I'm guessing it'll be a pretty special, pretty fun thing here to get together for this Hall of Fame induction here, right here in Red Deer.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they all can make it, but, you know, whether they can or can't be here, it's a great accomplishment for these kids. You know, it's something that it's well-deserved. And it'll be awesome. The guys are here. Some guys just can't make it. Marty Erad can't make it from Europe. He's reached out and let us know that he wouldn't be able to make it. But, you know what? Whoever's here and whoever isn't, they'll be in our thoughts. And it's always great. You know, something that we all have now is the amazing thing about sport. Is when you accomplish something, when something together as a group, you're always connected, and with that, and you don't ever forget that, and I'll never forget what those kids did for our franchise, right? And for, you know, after they bought into everything and they took that torch, they ran with it, and they carried it high, and they handed it over, and it wasn't just all about wins and losses; it was about our demeanor. Around the rink, how we did things, our professionalism, how we prepared, how we dressed on the road, how we dressed in hotels, and just the class act they were, and the way we needed to be in our community, and the amount of community work we needed to do, and their commitment to schooling, their commitment to doing it right, commitment to the discipline you need to have off the ice, whether it was curfews, whatever it needed to be. You know what, it was something they took and ran with, and it was just professionalism, right? And again, they're the ones that even though I always have said this, culture isn't built from ownership want it, management want it, coaches want it. And I just happen to be in all three of those positions. And I came from professional hockey. I knew how it had to be. And I seen those young kids coming in from junior hockey, the ones that were prepared, the ones weren't, through training camps and stuff. And some of these kids you room with me on the road, and some you didn't have to worry about at all. Others you had to be with them 24/7. And, you know, and it just had a lot to relate to where they came from and how things were done, right? So these guys, you know what, they did, or, you know, they accomplished what their goal was. You know, when you think off that team too, we went to three finals in a row, and probably our best team was in the third year. You know, that's when those young kids were all 19. And what messed that year up for us in the finals was right before finals started, four players all signed NHL contracts. And so it was like they lost their focus. And then it took a couple games to get into the series, get their focus back, getting them back to the level of play they needed to play at. And that affected us in year three. But that first year set the whole standards what we're about. And those guys that returned, they continue to carry it, and they just carried it on to the next guys that kept. And that was basically at the end of the day, it was the start of what the Red Deer Rebels are today, and what, you know, and that's the respect we have in the game and in the hockey world, and that we have as an organization, the way things are done, and that started with that group.
Great legacy in the building and great legacy in the community for sure. Brent, thanks for going down memory lane. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, bud.